You'll open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 13. We will hear those words in a moment. You can go ahead and find your place. Let us pray together. Now, Father God, as we turn to your word, we do so ready and willing to hear from you. Thank you that you're a God who speaks to us. And so as your spirit move freely in these moments, helping each one of us hear whatever it is you want us to hear. So you might help us be whoever it is you want us to be. And so you might help us do individually and together whatever it is you want us to do. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. We are deep into our healing series by now. Over the last couple months, we have looked at how God heals different kinds of relationships. We've looked at the God who heals physical hurts. When Sherry preached a few weeks ago, a God who heals societal hurts. Now today, the healing question is, how does God help us together be a healing church? Especially for those who have been hurt by church. So many American Christians today, they say that they really love Jesus, but they really want nothing to do with church. You know them, you've heard it. And if you were here just last week for Pentecost, you remember as we talked about the birth of the church, we realized that that's really not a viable option for those who are seeking after God's heart. And that's because church is God's big dream for how his kingdom will come to earth. It's not something we made up. This is God's grand experiment for how the work of Christ continues until Christ comes again. And so we don't get to decide for ourselves that we're just going to try to love Jesus, but we're not going to love Jesus's great gift to us, which is his church. And yet, every single year, thousands of Christians decide they're going to try it. Is loving Jesus but not loving the church stuff. Why is that, we ask? And we could be here all day discussing the reasons. But many, many walk away from church because they've been hurt somehow in church. I mean, have you ever been hurt in church? I have, like, about once a week, it turns out, if we look it up. Odds are, if you've been here for a little while, you have too. And that's because church is just full of humans. And it turns out any time a bunch of humans show up to something, it's not going to be very long before some kind of feelings get hurt. And so the question this morning is, how might we be the kind of church that heals more hearts in this place than hurts? How might we be a church that heals hearts that have given up on Christ in our community? Is there a way that they might find refuge right here in this place, healing refuge? If we want to be a healing church, the very first thing we've got to do is we've got to recognize together the main reason that people say that they're hurt by the church. And there's lots of reasons. We must acknowledge first that there are those, and more than there should be, because there shouldn't be any, but there are those, plenty of them, who have experienced real abuse in the church. We know those stories. We know those who have poured their hearts and lives into churches to then uncover deep immorality in leadership and the feelings of just being totally duped on that. We know those who have felt oppressed in churches from receiving bad theology. And those kind of hurts, those go deep. And those kind of hurts require a really special kind of healing. And that likely does require some folks to leave at least that church and get some counseling before they give another church a try. There are real seasons for that kind of healing. And those are the extreme cases. They happen, but gratefully, they're not the most common reasons we hear people say they've walked away from this thing called church. Now, the rest of these reasons are more of what the average person would say if they say, you know, they've given up on that thing. They love Jesus, but not so much the church. To be a healing church, we have to know why folks say they've been hurt in the first place. One reason that people feel hurt by the church, I think probably the main reason, is because of the high expectations that we carry into the church. We think, you know, these people in this place, they say they love Jesus, and Jesus is full of grace and forgiveness, and Jesus is so generous, and Jesus has unconditional love, and Jesus is always inviting. And so his people must be all of those things too, right? I wish and I hope that for us, but we are his people, I am his people, you're his people, and are you always full of grace? Am I always full of grace? Are you always super generous, just ready to give everything away? Are you always overly inviting? Did you invite everyone in the room this morning? Are we those people? Do you always love everyone in your midst fully, unconditionally? We love Jesus. We really, truly do. And we want to be like Jesus. We really, truly do. But we are works in progress, all of us. Saints and sinners, all of us. Beautiful and messy, all of us. Good days and bad days, all of us. We're not here this morning because we have gone and nailed this Jesus way of living. We are here this morning because we know that we desperately need Jesus to redeem us from all of our broken ways. We're not here because we've got it all figured out. We're here because we are still growing in wisdom and in love. And so often folks come into church expecting everyone there to act just like Jesus. And we're here because we want to act like Jesus. We do, but we are so aware that we fall short of that every single day. People's high expectations of what Christian community should look like. Oh, it's this perfectly intimate thing. It's so loving. It's overly generous. It's so pretty. It's often that very thing that sends them out the door saying, I tried that. It didn't work for me. They weren't what they said they were. My pastor friend always tells folks who are about to join his church when they're way early on in the process, he says, hear this from the very beginning. He says, if we are close enough to help you, we are also close enough to hurt you. Church is community. It's family. And who in here has never been hurt by your own family? That's just part of being real humans in real community. We don't want to let each other down. We don't want to hurt each other, but we're not always going to get it right. And that is exactly why we're here. So many come to church with these expectations that says, they're only going to help me. They're only going to bless me. The odds are we will do some of that. And we might hurt you too. And odds are you will hurt us too. But we will grow together in Christ in the helping and in the hurting. Because that's what it's all about. The times I've seen our church grow the most is when someone did mess up in our midst. And they reached out and they named it and they apologized and folks said, all right, let's keep on keeping on. It's not the absence of pain that makes us strong. It's working through that together. That's what makes us a beautiful community of Christ. Some people get hurt at church because of gossip. You're like, that one again. It comes up over and over. It's a big deal. Folks who come into this place and we put on our sign sometimes, come as you are, and we think we mean it. And so they come in this place and they open up about their pain. And if that person then finds out that their pain was shared as a prayer request in a group that wasn't for them, bridges get burned. Sometimes folks get wind that the very people that they thought God put in their lives to build them up are actually behind the scenes, tearing them down. There's so many passages in the New Testament that are written to all these different early churches begging folks to just stop gossiping, just hard stop, no excuse, just stop it. Because it is a cancer in the churches 2,000 years ago and today all around the globe. This gossip stuff, it sends hurt people away from church, a place they came for refuge, more broken than before they even came in. And when someone gets word that they've been talked about by their church friends, there's a good chance the church has lost them for good. It's a good chance. Some people leave churches because they just couldn't ever connect. They attended for weeks, for months, for years, and they would say they still really had no relationships to fall back on. They never really felt like their gifts were celebrated. And sometimes that's on the church, not reaching out, not bringing people in. Sometimes the lack of connection is a lack of effort on the other person's part. It goes both ways. My friend Dion, he says, you know, with church, you get in what you put, you get out what you put in. It kind of makes sense. If you want more church friends, then be a friend to more church people. If you want more connections, then show up where people are connecting. If you want your gifts to be used, then let your gifts be known. Don't wait for someone to figure out what it is. Tell us. But however it happens, many people leave churches all over with hurting hearts and saying this thing, you know, I was there for years. I was there for months. And when I left, hardly anyone knew that I wasn't there anymore. I never really belonged. There are all kinds of reasons that hearts get hurt in churches. And we can't cover them all. There's lots. Different one for every heart that would be the story for. But here's the good news. Or is it good? I don't know. Maybe just here's the news. This is nothing new. From the very beginning, in the very first churches, there were already hurt feelings from unmet expectations in the body. From the very beginning, when God first breathed this new thing into existence, there was already encouragement on how we might be a church who heals in this world. Case in point, the first century church in Corinth. 1 Corinthians, this is Paul's letter to this messy little church. It's got like 100 people, not too different from us. Hopefully a lot really different in some ways. Because as soon as Paul writes his greetings in 1 Corinthians, he gets right to the heart of things. And boy, we find out really quickly that this is a place with lots of drama and lots of hurting hearts. 1 Corinthians 1:11, Paul says, "It's been reported to me that there are quarrels among you." That verse might be the understatement of the century. What are these quarrels, we ask? We keep reading this entire letter. How much time do you have this morning? There's a ton. Chapter 1, there's division over which leader people want to follow. There are groups in the church who are saying, we follow Paul. Others saying, we follow Apollos. We're those kind of people. We're blue people. We're red people. We're conservative. We're progressive. We're us. We're them. It's already happening in the first century church. The next two chapters, Paul confronts pride in the church. He says that people are boasting about their spirituality, about how good they're doing in this God life. It's just this oxymoron. And in chapter 1, verse 31, Paul begs them. He says, if anyone's going to boast about something, only boast in the Lord. Add to these things, there's sexual immorality in the church. In chapter 5, Paul calls out a man who is living with his father's wife. Put that together. And it's a small church. Everyone knows of the scandal. Real families are involved. Hearts are definitely hurting. This is getting messy. We're only 5 chapters in. That's not it. Chapter 6, Paul confronts church members who are suing each other. Folks who are worshiping together on Sunday mornings are making their case in the courts on Mondays for why the other person needs to pay up. Ever been in a lawsuit and not had your heart torn in two? Hurting hearts, no doubt. Chapter 7 indicates that marriages are falling apart in the church. Chapter 8 says there's idolatry issues. Chapter 11, there's dress code issues. And then there's this selfishness that's happening at the Lord's table, where people are coming in to eat the Lord's meal and they're hoarding it. They're taking seconds and thirds before the poor among them even get a taste of the Lord's Supper. This church is a mess. Sometimes when I start complaining to God about how hard Belfair is, I hear, at least it's not Corinth. At least imagine that. We're great. We're great, you guys. There is total chaos in worship in chapter 14. There are folks who are breaking into the worship time with these ecstatic utterances that no one can understand. Imagine that, just middle of a sermon, one of you just starts standing up and shouting some foreign babble that nobody knows what you're talking about. It was happening week after week. This was the church in Corinth. It was a mess. God's church had just been birthed, and it was already broken. Already hearts were being hurt by this community not being all that God intended for it to be. In the midst of the mess, Paul gives this beautiful word about what might bring healing to this place. These verses are familiar. You have heard them at weddings. Turns out they're not about husbands and wives. These words were given to a church for how to love each other in the church. That's a lot harder than the person you choose to live your life with. How to love the people in the church. This is a word that if taken to heart, it might make us more and more of a healing church too. I already sense healing in this place every week. It can just be more and more. Here's what Paul has to say about the hope of healing a broken church. These words are familiar. Hear them in a new way, as if they're spoken about your love for God's church. If I speak in the tongues of mortals and of angels, but do not have love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give away all my possessions, and if I hand over my body so that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. Want to be a church that offers real healing to those who've been hurt by church? Here's what to do, Paul says. Get back to love. That's it. It doesn't give some 5-step plan on how to heal. No, I want to be a healing church. Just get back to love, Paul says. What do we mean by love? We throw that word around all the time. For God so loved the world, they'll know we are Christians by our love. Love is the way. We love love. But what do we mean by love? If we're going to get back to it, what exactly is it? I'm glad you asked. You asked right. Love is patient. That's what it is. Healing churches are patient with one another. You know, in my time here, I have had more people than I want to admit who have come to talk to me, and they've said, Pastor, we're going to leave the church because it's just too distracting. They said, you know, on Sundays during the work, we love the music, we love the sermons, but there's just so many people who get up and get down and people who are whispering and talking, and then they're not respectful, and I just can't stomach it, and it's just so hard. I'm leaving. And so often in those conversations, I say, well, do you know who these people are? Did you know that these people you're talking about, it's their first time to ever be in church? They didn't grow up in church. They're the first ones in their family giving this a try. No one ever has taught them, shown them how we do worship together. We've got to be patient with each other and let each other grow up in our midst. Some stay, some go. But a healing church is patient with everyone God brings into our midst. Even when it seems a bit disorderly, we're patiently getting back to love. Love is kind. Healing churches are full of people who are simply kind to one another. Just kind. Just kind. Kindness sees everyone as brother and sister. Kindness pulls up extra chairs at the table. Kindness invites someone new to coffee. Kindness offers an embrace to the one who's alone and mourning. Kindness does random acts for another's good just to bless them. Kindness holds up those who are hurting. Kindness stands beside them. One of my favorite stories of kindness in the church is told by Anne Lamott about her own home church. It's a small church. And she said this was back in the late 80s, early 90s. And there was a man named Ken who found his way into her church. And Ken was a gay man. He was dying of AIDS. And there was a woman in the choir named Renola. And she wasn't so sure about Ken, his lifestyle, and also his sickness. If you remember the 80s and 90s, there was so much fear around this disease of AIDS. So week after week, Ken was coming to church, and Anne Lamont said everyone could see him noticeably getting weaker and weaker. Renola had whispered to a few people about this man. Was he safe to be around? Should he be there? There's this one Sunday. I believe it was his last Sunday in the church. And they're singing in the choir, "His eye is on the sparrow." And Renola looks out and sees Ken. Ken can't stand up. He's so weak. He can't even sing. And she steps out of the choir loft. She walks to Ken, this woman who's been terrified of him, who's wondered about him, who's judged him even. And she puts her arm around him, under his arm, and she holds him up. And they stand together and they sing, "His eye is on the sparrow." And she said, Ken and Renola both start crying, and there's tears and there's mucus and they're swapping fluids, which they probably shouldn't be doing, and nobody cares because it's the most beautiful expression of kindness. I will stand with you. I will care for you. I will lay down my comfort for you. Kindness. It scans the room and it asks, who needs a shoulder to cry on? Who needs an extra hand to hold the door? Who needs a friend to sit by? A healing church is just full of folks who are going out of their way to be kind to anyone who comes in these doors. And hurting hearts find healing in kind places, that we might continue to be such a place and more so. Love doesn't envy or boast. It isn't proud. Healing churches are full of folks who declare, "This isn't about me." Love does not demand the spotlight. Love has no need to be heard. Love is only about lifting high the name of Jesus Christ so that everyone might actually see who their heart needs to see. You all don't need me. You all need Jesus. We need Jesus. A healing church lifts high only one name, and it's not a pastor's name, and it's not a musician's name, and it's not an old founder who gave lots of money's name. Those are good things, but none of those have the power to heal. A healing church lifts high the name of Jesus, and only the name of Jesus. And that is love. Making sure everyone has the chance to encounter Jesus. And that means I get out of the way. I get out of the way. This makes me think of my friend Charles sitting in the back quietly. Anytime I ask Charles if he will help me with something in the church of leadership, because he's so gifted and he walks with Jesus so humbly, every time before he just says yes, he says, "Well, let me pray about it." and make sure if I say yes, it's the Spirit leading me and not my own ego. Because I would enjoy it. It would make me feel important. But I don't want to do it unless it's Jesus saying yes and not my ego. That's love for us. He's one of the folks who make us a healing church. Love doesn't dishonor. Say it again, in a healing church, there is no gossip, ever, ever. Because that's not love. It's that simple. That's the reason that too many people gave up on church in the first place. Instead of talking folks down, healing churches lift folks up. And I'm so passionate about this, you guys, for lots of reasons. But I think the main reason is because of this. I have a family member, an immediate family member, who is near and dear to my heart, who made a very hard, shameful choice in her teenage years. And she got word that some of her youth group friends and her youth group teacher were talking about her. And she is in her 40s now and has never been a part of a church again. She loves Jesus, but in her moment of shame, the people of God talked her down and not up. And 20 years later, she's still not back. I refuse to pastor a church that accepts gossip as just the norm. Or just, it's just a small town. Bull. Bull. And I'm sure that you refuse to attend one. You don't want to attend that kind of church, do you? Because we've all seen too many people hurt too badly by dishonoring others. And I don't know about you, but I believe that together we are so much more interested in healing than adding to hurt. That this might be a community known for spewing out words that honor one another. A healing community we can be. Love is not self-seeking. That means that a healing church is others seeking. Which is totally opposite of how most people choose church these days, right? If you're on the market, which we even say that, if you're church shopping, I mean, think of all these, what these words say about us in church. It's all about us, right? We are the consumer. What are we going to buy? What are we going to get? We walk in. We scan the people, right? Try to figure out who our friends will be. And how do we determine that? By who looks the most like us. We listen to the music. Is it our style? Will it fill us up? We endure the sermon. Was it funny enough? Were there pictures? Was it short enough? Probably not. We pull out the pamphlet and we look at it. Are there enough activities to keep me and my family adequately entertained? And is it free? Is the coffee any good? Is it medium roast, light roast? Are the pews comfy? We check our boxes for what we need from the church. And if enough boxes check, we might come back. Unless they hound us during the week. No way then. Love is not self-seeking. It's others seeking. What if this church, what if every church was full of folks who walked in every single week asking not, I wonder what's in here for me today, but I wonder how God can use me to be a blessing here today. Oh, I wonder how I can help today. Oh, I wonder where my gifts can be used today. Imagine that. Imagine that. So many people leave churches hurt because they have all these boxes they need to check. And it turns out there's no place this side of heaven, maybe even in heaven. I don't know if there's comfy pews and good coffee in heaven, but there's no place they could possibly meet those expectations. I don't know. But if those exact same hearts came in saying, how can I be a part? How can I be a part of what God is already doing here? How can I help us do something new in His name? How can I serve? Get this. Who do I get to love? Oh, who do I get to love today? Healing would sweep through the American church. And it could start in our church. Paul says, church, get back to love. Love isn't just, oh, I love you so much. Love is others seeking, others seeking. And love will heal us all. Love isn't easily angered. and it keeps no record of wrongs. Whew. That means that a healing church is quick to offer grace and forgiveness. You know, it's so rare in churches that it's one big thing that does someone in when they decide to leave and say they've been hurt too much to stay. It's rare that it's one big thing. It's usually a whole bunch of little things that fester over time. Churches have split. Hearts have been broken because people fought to the death over carpet colors. And it's true. I know, we should laugh or cry, but it's true. Churches have split, hearts have been broken because someone forgot to call someone on the prayer list and that someone felt left out by someone. Churches have split and hearts have been broken because someone borrowed our nice Tupperware after the potluck and they never returned it. And now it's just awkward. Or someone sang too loud and they ruined that song for us. Or someone sat in the pew that I normally sit in. They didn't even notice me. Or someone snapped at my kid when he was running in the hall. Someone cut in front of me in the coffee line. Someone talks too much. Someone stares too long. Someone sits too close. And someone, and someone, and someone. There are all these little things that just keep rubbing us wrong because church is made up of people. And sometimes, newsflash, people mess up. Love is quick to let all those little things slide right off our backs, offering grace upon grace upon grace. A healing church forgives quickly for all the small things, so all those small things don't become big things. Love lets people just be themselves, their quirky, goofy selves. And we've got some quirky, goofy folks in this church, and I hope they never leave because it's you and it's me. Love says it is okay to be not perfectly okay. Love says it's okay to be you in this place, and it's okay to mess up, and it's okay if you hurt my feelings from time to time. I half expect it. And if we're not close enough to help you, then we're not going to be close enough to hurt you. But if we are close enough to help you, get ready, because we just might hurt you. And we can just actually accept that that will happen. And then if we just accept it, we can refuse to let anger fester in this place. It's grace upon grace. It gives everyone permission not to walk on eggshells around us, to just be you. So maybe I can just be me, knowing that there is grace enough here, and grace will heal us all. Might we be a healing church? Love you, Emily. Leaning heavy on grace and forgiveness. A church that gives folks a fresh chance at this crazy thing called community 70 times 7 times. Finally, love always perseveres. A healing church is full of folks who refuse to give up on each other too soon. Love takes it on the chin a few times and keeps showing up to worship Jesus together anyways. Love gets its feelings hurt sometimes and refuses to write the whole community off because of it. Love is resilient. It is determined to see this thing through, knowing that it's our determination to stick it out together when it's hard that makes us a real picture of God's love in this world where people cancel and give up on each other in a second over the tiniest things. How many times has God had every excuse in the book to bail on us? How often could God have said, well, you didn't do it my way, so I'm out? How many times could God have said, you know, you said something that hurt my feelings. See ya. How many times in my life could God have said, you know, you did something that I'm still mad about, so I'm taking my business elsewhere. How many times could God have said that just yesterday to me? But he hasn't. And he doesn't, because God's love for us is persistent. And he never gives up. He never walks away. He just keeps showing up with his vulnerable heart, telling us he will risk it all on loving us again and again. And when we decide to do that for one another, when we refuse to storm out too soon, we are sharing the healing hurt of our God with each other and, yes, with our world. Persevering together. Refusing to quit on this unique expression of God's dream as we commit to each other for the long haul. Healing will flow from this place. Love perseveres. God never gives up on us. And so a healing church is full of folks who will never give up on each other. Here's your challenge for all the weeks to come. A little practice. Print off 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 8 on like a little note card. I should have done it for you, but I didn't. But it's okay. You can do it yourself. Write it down, print it off, however you want to do it, index card size. Stuff it in your purse, in your wallet, somewhere where you will have it with you more times than not. And every single time you're about to walk in the doors of this church, be it a Sunday, a Wednesday, a Thursday, before you leave your car, pull that little piece of paper out and read these beautiful words about what love really is. And say, God, let me enter your church loving like this, ready to be this person to my brothers and sisters. And my friends, if we're all doing it together, oh my gosh, can you imagine the love, the healing that will not only flow from this place, but that will fill this place. Your hurting heart, my hurting heart, hurting hearts of people who wrote church off long ago will find healing in this place. Don't come in these doors next week until you've read 1 Corinthians 13 again. And again, we'll do it together that we may be a healing church. Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, I thank you for all the ways I see your beautiful healing work in this place every single week. Already I see so many expressions of your grace here, of your forgiveness, of your resilience. This room today is full of people who have walked through some crazy stuff here, and they've refused to give up. They've shown up again and again and again. Lord, I thank you for the ways I see in this place people who honor each other, who affirm each other, who celebrate each other. God, we ask for your Spirit to just infuse us and just let it be more and more and more, because there are so many hearts who have written your people off. Could we be a picture of your people who welcome them back home, home to your dream, church, home to your Spirit. It's on the move in this place of messy people becoming your people day by day. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.